much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Daylight savings. No one gives a shit.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Daylight savings time is the worst.
It's actually daylight saving time.
That's what I said.
No, you said daylight savings time. It's daylight saving time.
I don't hear the difference.
No, you are saying savings. It's not savings. It's singular. Saving. It's daylight saving time.
Oh, he means daylight saving time.
Plus, the day after daylight saving time, you're all messed up. And one time, my mom brought in my breakfast an hour late like an idiot. So I just threw it on the floor and I said, Mom, if I wanted to eat this, I would have eaten it an hour ago. But it threw off my whole bathroom schedule and I ended up having to poop in a Sunoco bathroom. Can you believe that?
And now.
How'd you like that time going forward? We're up late, aren't we?
Our feature presentation.
We sure are up late. Thank you, Rodney. And welcome, everybody, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Monday, the 12th of March. Kids.
Yo.
Yo.
How was everybody's time change?
Rather horrible.
Time was it bad? Changey. Was it time changey?
Yeah. It was super time changey.
What was the problem, Michael?
Well, on top of the fact that we all get up so very early, mm-hmm. And then this, you know, now our brains think it's earlier in the morning. Mm-hmm. My daughter, her brain is not adjusted to new bedtime.
Oh.
Oh,
so
I see.
There's, it's just wartime. Come 7:30 because she's like, I really don't feel all that tired.
Do you explain that it's a time change? Because she should get it. If you explain it happens twice a year.
I explain that the clock changes and that uh-huh. makes things way worse. Because
yeah.
to a 3-year-old's brain, she goes, well, why on earth would the clock change?
Yeah,
that doesn't seem to.
I was kidding. I definitely yeah. wouldn't have said it.
I know. I probably shouldn't have. And yeah. And I try to.
Look, it's a tough concept that the clock is not standard. You
right.
know what I mean?
Like, right.
it would be very difficult at that age to get your head around why we do this nonsense.
For sure.
Kids are stupid.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You don't want them to be. And you always try to make them not, but yeah. they are.
But yeah. sometimes it's just not worth explaining stuff to. Sometimes totally. You do. I bet, Mike, most parents think they'll never be the because I said so parents.
Yeah.
But there are times where you just have to go, look. I'm an adult and I'm smarter than you are, so just deal with it.
Yeah, that's just kind of the way it is. And there's so few people that I'm just positive that I'm smarter than. Mm-hmm. I have to take advantage of this, you know?
For only a
couple more years. How about you, Allie? How did the time change affect you?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Nobody likes it.
No, but this, I like it in the fall. I like it's gaining great. That hour.
It's you great. Like that long weekend.
I enjoy
weekend.
That so yeah. very much. This blows.
Yeah, it does. It does. Look, I hate to look toward Florida, but like we talked about it briefly on Friday, they're discussing the idea of eliminating the time change, joining Hawaii and parts of Arizona, and saying nope, we're not going to do it anymore.
I think all the states just need to come together and say let's stop it.
I agree, man. Thanks, Obama. Right.
Right. It was pretty much all him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Hey, we got a huge show today, including, and before we get to this point where we're talking about the schedule coming up, we're not allowed to say anything about 7 a.m.? We're just supposed to pretend like 7 a.m. is not happening, and then 7 a.m. comes in, woo, surprise? We can't even tease that there's a thing at 7, or what's the strategy on that? I just barely glanced at Dave's note.
Pretty sure it was no mention at all.
Yeah.
No mention at all. So 7 o'clock is going to come and go, and it's going to be just a normal 7 o'clock.
This will be a surprise. That was the message.
All right, so I won't say anything. I am terrified by this story, you guys, for so many reasons. I hate when bad things happen to people, that there's no reason a bad thing should have happened, and life is unpredictable and mysterious and tragic and sad. And I don't know how something like this could happen. I don't understand the science behind it, but Sam Ballard is his name. He was a young rugby player from Sydney, Australia, 20 years old, sitting around with his mates having a few drinks, which I guess is legal at 20 in Australia, it sounds like.
Nice.
And a slug walks across the table.
Okay.
We've all seen slugs, right?
Yep, I've seen them walk.
Walk across. Do they not walk?
Okay.
I don't use the word slither.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
PTSD.
So a slug walks across the table, and someone says, I dare you to eat it, Sam.
Oh, Sam. Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of reasons why this is a bad idea, not the least of which is don't bring the slug into your drama, all right? Let the slug be a slug.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve that. The slug's just out there having a day, right?
Makes perfect sense to me, though.
As a 20-year-old, you can see this year being...
Jocks.
Especially 20-year-old rugby players in Australia, drunk.
Yes.
I mean, I'll let you finish this story, but the things that were in my belly in 1998, I don't even want... Just because.
Mike.
Not even for money. Just like, I dare you.
I dare you.
Not enough just to do it.
We may have to do another segment on dares. We haven't done that in a while. His mother described him as a rough and tumble free spirit, by the way, so Sam was exactly the kind of man who would take that dare and say, yes, I'm going to eat that slug. Boys will be boys, she later told the television station. Well, he swallowed the slug and therefore contracted something called a rat lungworm, which is a parasitic worm that lives in rodents and can be passed on to snails and slugs. Those gastropods, it says here in the Washington Post, can then transmit the worm into humans. In an unusual and tragic turn, the parasite infected Ballard's brain, putting him in a coma for 420 days and leaving him paralyzed.
Oh, my God.
He is now a paraplegic who suffers from seizures, eats and breathes through tubes, and requires constant care, which the family is struggling to pay for, all because on a dare, he put a slug in his belly.
That slug whooped that guy's ass.
Yeah, it did.
How does that happen? CDC explains in a video, and I will not at this hour of the morning go into detail of what the rat does with the worms that puts it in its stomach and then ends up pooping it out and then gets eaten by snails and slugs. I will give you no further details than that. Trust me, you don't want to know. The CDC says people can get infected by eating raw or undercooked snails or slugs that are infected with this parasite. By the way, in many cultures, snails are commonly eaten.
Yeah, but they're cooked usually.
Yeah, that's the danger, is raw or undercooked, right? Some children in particular have gotten infected by swallowing snails or slugs on a dare. You can also become infected by accident by eating raw produce such as, I said it again tonight, produce such as lettuce that contains a small snail or slug or part of one. Now, that terrifies me as well. Do we all wash our lettuce well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wash nothing. I'm not that I'm hung up on that stuff. But leafy greens, you really got to wash that.
Because you never know what's in there.
Yeah.
Certain animals such as freshwater shrimp, crabs, or frogs have also been found to be infected with the larva of the parasite. So it just seems like there's a lot of things you've got to be super careful to make sure that they are cooked properly and they are washed properly to make sure something like this happened. It is worth noting, by the way, that fish do not spread this parasite, so you do not have to worry about fish. Cases have been recorded in Hawaii and a few in the continental United States. In 1993, a New Orleans boy contracted the parasite by eating a snail on a dare but did not need treatment. Most people, by the way, who get sick from rat lungworm do not anywhere near end up like this Australian boy did. They do have headaches, a stiff neck, tingling, or pain in the skin, fever, nausea, and vomiting, but usually you get sick and then get over it.
I guarantee what happened was that this guy sounds incredibly macho. A, he's Australian, which puts him higher on the macho scale. Mm-hmm. He's a drinker. And he's a rugby player.
Right.
He probably had all those. Yeah, he's 20. He probably had all those symptoms. And he's like, mate, I'm good.
Yeah.
Hey, get back to the bar, mate.
So did not even seek medical attention,
right? Yeah, he's like, I'm good. This is just Monday for me.
Oh, man.
Well, look, it's a tragic and sad story, but I bring it up to make that final point again, which is don't eat raw or undercooked things like this and make sure to wash your stuff, right? Because nobody needs or wants this.
It's unfair, though, because it's never unhealthy crap that gives you these deadly diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Twinkies never carry some worm that'll kill your lungs and eat you from in the inside.
Gosh. Twinkies are barely food. That's
always
why.
Spinach and chicken breast.
Yep.
You know, those are the things that get taken off the market because, oh, my gosh, there's going to be some outbreak.
That's probably
really
why
good...
beer mug is sticking with Twinkies.
That's why
it's no dummy.
President Trump is, you know... Healthy
is going to live forever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a sober takeaway to get us started on this morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about it, shall we?
People suck at your job, just to let you know.
Well, believe me, we know. Hey, we do have an update on Flippy the Robot, by the way. That seems like that was a short-lived experiment, right?
Yeah.
Beer Mug took the K-Rock microphone out over the weekend, so cheers with Beer Mug. I'm very excited to hear what the folks down at his bar have to say about what's going on. We've got great news on the program today. We're going to talk about, and I don't believe we've ever done this topic before, what was the worst movie you ever saw? In many cases, this is going to involve, as it did in my example, getting up and walking out of a theater because you realize you're just not going to waste your time anymore with that nonsense. Now, this isn't the worst movie that you actually liked. This isn't the movie that people make fun of you for. This is, you can't believe this movie got made and released. It was so bad. And I think we all have examples of this. But it's going to be fun to hear what people have to say. Because I guarantee there are going to be some people who are going to say a movie that's pretty good. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
It just hit you wrong. We are going to announce the Kevin and Bean opening act contest for our April Foolishness show for March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Yes, you can be on the stage with all those great comics. We'll tell you how. That's in the 7 o'clock hour, in addition to that other thing we're not allowed to mention. All of that, plus Allie's What's Happening, right after this on K-Rock. LANOC's Alternative Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is Monday morning. Allie, what's happening?
I'd like to go through the growing, let's just say it's a mountain of evidence, that this sleep deprivation and monkeying around with our circadian rhythms is doing a lot of damage. It's doing no good, okay, essentially. Okay. These are all different studies. First one, the overall rate of stroke is 8% higher in the 2 days after daylight saving time. Cancer patients were 25% more likely to have a stroke during that time, and people older than 65 were 20% more likely to have a stroke.
That's significant.
That's way significant, and that's a 2016 study. And then a 2012 study says the Monday and Tuesday after daylight saving time in the spring has also been associated with a 10% increase in heart attacks. And the annual remover of an hour has been linked to more workplace injuries, auto accidents, and poor decision making.
Can I tell you what a turn on it is for me every time Allie says daylight saving time correctly? It really is.
Oh,
feels
God.
Great.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Keep talking about it, Allie.
What was I thinking?
Keep talking about it.
So, daylight savings time is bad.
No,
is
stop.
What we're saying,
boner killer.
Oh, boner killer. You're the worst. I see we get rid of it. I mean, if all
yes.
of, if that isn't enough, I mean, who has to die for us to say enough?
And none of us are working on a farm. I don't even know what that has to do with anything, but I always heard it was for the farmers. None of us are working on a farm anymore, right?
Right.
People live in cities now.
People do live in cities.
And we
now.
Have electric lights, so let's just move on.
What if think of any other phenomena that we all collectively did that increased heart attack like
and
risk
stroke.
20%?
Yeah. Heart attack 10%.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and then
stroke 20.
Yeah.
We would immediately deal with that. That would be
absolutely.
A national crisis.
Agreed.
You're
100%.
Right. You're right about that. That's a tremendous amount.
Seriously.
Put five old people in a room and say, hey, one of you is going to have a stroke because we insist on moving the clocks.
Like, seriously, think of a soft drink.
Right.
That just hit the market.
Oh,
and
are
there
you
was
kidding?
A 10% increase in heart attack for people if they drank it. There would be a national crisis.
Absolutely.
Be
right.
off the market.
This is very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Come on now.
Not upsetting. Black Panther officially crossed the $1 billion mark. Yeah, that's now the fifth Marvel movie to cross the $1 billion mark. Can you guys name the other four?
Sure.
All right.
Two Girls, One Cup.
Nope.
I assume
Human
the
Centipede.
Nope.
I assume the Avengers.
Avengers, yep.
That's DC.
And I assume the Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, no. Avengers Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. Okay.
What about Ragnarok?
Thor? Fraggle Rock.
Thor Ragnarok?
Nope.
How about one of the Iron Man movies?
Iron Man 3.
Okay.
All right, just one more.
And that would be Guardians of the Galaxy.
It would be Captain America Winter Soldier.
Huh. Zero. Yeah, zero of movies I've seen.
Yeah.
It is the most successful movie franchise of all time, by the way, Marvel Universe.
By the way, it pulled in its fourth week, another $41.1 million over the weekend. Followed up by A Wrinkle in Time, which debuted at $33.3 million. And Strangers Pray at Night, also a debut at $10.5 million. Red Sparrow, Game Night. Rounding out the top five, and then Peter Rabbit, Death Wish, and then a tie at number eight with The Hurricane Heist, debuting at $3.2 million, and Annihilation, and then coming in 10th with another $2.8 million, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. That's been out, what, 3 years? Four years?
Yeah, that movie will not die.
My wife watched it on video on demand this weekend, yet it's still making
$3 million.
Yeah.
That is insane.
By the way, all I care about is 1 week from today when we get Kevin's review of Hurricane Heist.
Oh, he's for sure seeing it, right?
He was upset
that we all said it was a perfect Kevin movie, but he has absolutely seen it, for sure. Some birthdays for you. We've got actress Jamie Alexander, Liza Minnelli, Courtney B. Vance, and porn star Ron Jeremy. That's what's happening.
Saturday is St. Patrick's Day, you guys. And have you heard who's coming to K-Rock to perform in the HD radio sound space?
Wing.
Great guest. Flogging Molly, everybody. Flogging Molly is going to be here in the building on Saturday. How cool is that?
That's actually very cool.
And you can win tickets all week long here on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. In fact, we got two chances for you to win if you want to be here Saturday for St. Patrick's Day to see one of the great Los Angeles bands. They're from Los Angeles, right? Flogging Molly?
Lead singer's from Ireland, but I think they're LA based.
The rest of them are. Yeah.
How much money is being thrown at Conor McGregor this week to go anywhere?
Yeah, just show up somewhere.
And Flogging Molly, they could do like 20 gigs on St. Patrick's Day, right?
It's got to be
everybody wants them.
Yeah, to be like Cypress Hill around 420,
mm-hmm.
or Flogging Molly around St. Patrick's Day to have a base level of success and then have it spike 9,000,000% around one day.
Exactly. Your Los Lobos on Cinco de Mayo. Exactly. Hey, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about the OJ confession special on Fox last night. But first, let's talk about the weekend a little bit. Allie, what happened with your Kings on Saturday?
Oh, I went to the game, so it's a foregone conclusion that they will lose when I go.
Why?
However,
is that?
Not quite in the 7-2 range, which they lost by.
How long has it been since they've given up 7 goals in a game?
Listen, it wasn't great, and they didn't look good. But I knew after the first 2 goals, I just looked at my friend. She's like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, I know. And then I ran into Lee Zeidman, who we had on the show on Friday, because they had their 200th turnover. It's their 200th doubleheader, because the Clippers were going to be playing that night. And ran into him, and he just gave me that, like, when you... What is that called?
The neck-slitting?
The neck-slitting move.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, "This is all you, again." Because it got to the point in 2012 where I went to 2 games during the Stanley Cup run that they lost, and then I was offered Stanley Cup suite tickets for the game when they won the Stanley Cup the day before my birthday, June 11th, 2012. And I said, "Nope, I will not go." And they're like, "Thank God. Thank you for not going." So you're welcome for that first Stanley Cup, Kings fans. But yeah, I won't be going again for
So you're only allowed to go to games they can afford to lose.
Yeah. Like, we'll take a Blues loss.
Fair enough.
Other than the loss, though, it looked like you had a great time.
It was wonderful. It was also Bailey the Lion's 11th birthday. So we got to celebrate with him.
You have quite the photo album of you and Bailey throughout the years.
Really do. I might have a crush on Bailey.
I think he might be your most consistent date throughout the years.
How dare you be right.
Oh. Mike, you were on stage.
I was doing stand-up,
Saturday night.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about this. You're not a stand-up comedian.
Not a good one. I mean, I've been at it about a year.
You have a pretty busy television and radio career.
Yes.
What is making you branch off into stand-up as well? Because that is you need a very particular set of skills to do that work.
Right. And I honestly feel like developing that very particular set of skills is just the best thing for being an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And if you have the balls and the discipline to stick to it and develop your ability as a stand-up, it just makes everything else seem easier. That's that was my main motivation in doing it.
Interesting.
You know?
And when you walked out on stage last night, you were up in Santa Barbara, you said?
Yeah, Saturday night, and it was up in Santa Barbara. It was a rough thing to kind of do. It was relatively unremarkable because I will be honest, I didn't murder, but I also it wasn't like I didn't bomb. It was just kind of very unremarkable,
right?
You know,
did people know who you were? Did anyone come there to see you, or were you just they did. Okay,
yeah. I mean, I mean, not like hundreds of people, but Loveline was on in Santa Barbara for its run, so there was you know 5 or 10 people who came just to like say what's up. You know?
So you didn't think about doing like tryout for a Groundlings group or something like that.
I was at Groundlings for a while.
Okay.
You know.
I was going to say that's such a leap to go to standing on stage and telling jokes. That makes my b-hole pucker.
It's rough. And like I say, being in bands, you know, all my youth, Chip will attest to this.
For sure.
You can hide. If no one's paying attention to you or if you're playing a particularly bad gig or people are booing, you can just hide behind the music.
Right.
Just get into your instrument, turn it up real loud and just go and be like, screw these people. Mm-hmm. Let's work on this music. If you're bombing as a stand-up, it is the worst.
You're naked up there.
Yeah,
so
it's the loneliest place in the world.
Yeah.
But I think, like, honestly, the writing for being a stand-up as opposed to writing for TV shows or writing for, like, a bit for the radio, it's so much more demanding because it has to be so tight for you not to be able to fail. So that was my main motivation in doing it. Okay.
Like so when we have Foolishness in a couple of weeks here, you watch those guys and you're just in awe of how they work a stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time I'm out doing stand-up, there's at least one guy or gal where I look at it and I go, how on earth do you get that good? I mean, how many reps does it take to get? It's the same. It's the same as martial arts and stuff. Every time you're out there on the mats, there's those gals or those guys that you just go, well, I don't even understand what you're doing yet. What cheat code are you operating with right now?
Yeah, not the same species.
Yeah.
Muggs, I hear you had a pretty big Saturday night.
I'm hurting right now. Still. Yeah. Yeah, it was Lightning's I Quit This Bitch party at the Slide Bar in Fullerton, and it was at 8 o'clock. And Lightning got there, I think, probably 2 hours before, and he was already on the level. But when the rest of the crew showed up, everybody just right out the gates. Drinks were being served. All the listeners that showed up, the B-Team listeners and Kevin and Bean Show listeners, were so awesome. Just offered everybody drinks, you know.
Was it a pretty good turnout? Because I know it was raining.
It was an amazing turnout. I mean, I was taken aback by how many people were actually there.
Remarkable.
Yeah, to say bye and say thank you to Lightning for all these years. And so I was, 20 minutes there, and I'm already smashed. And it comes time to get up on stage, and everybody has, like, a nice thing to say about Lightning. And I was in the middle of my thanking him for everything he's done. I think Dave started chanting, Kiss, Kiss. Like, I guess that's what Dave wanted to see. But then
Gene Simmons was there. And
no, it wasn't that. He wanted us to physically make out. So I was trying to make a joke about it, and before I could even like do that, without hesitation, Lightning grabs the back of my head and brings me to his face with his tongue, inserts his tongue into my mouth.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real kiss.
I was way surprised. I was not expecting that.
You dug it though, a little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
Wait, so he's real like you kiss your wife?
Absolutely. It was.
Woo!
And that was the first time in my life. I'm a 34-year-old man. That was the first time I've ever had another man's tongue in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, hey, bring it on.
Well, it's nice to check that one off your bucket list, right? I think we have the tape of that moment from the stage of the Slide Bar Saturday night.
That was full tongue.
Full tongue.
Now Lightning's really sad he's not at K-Rock anymore. He didn't know he had that opportunity. I'm so happy that people showed up to say goodbye to Light, though. I know we've talked about this before, but he's been such an integral part of this radio station for so long, and I'm glad the listeners appreciate that and gave him a big send-off.
Did he cry?
I think he was too drunk to cry at that time, but
Muggs, why are you still hurting now on Monday morning if this was Saturday night?
34.
Okay. Serious, man. I'm getting older. I'm getting older. I can't.
Time change?
The time change, I can't take in the chemicals in my body that I once could and be okay with it the next day.
Don't let it stop you.
I don't. That's the problem.
All right. Let me ask one more question because then we got to get to Harvey. And that is, how did you and Dave play it with all the alcohol flowing Saturday night, knowing that you're in a weight loss competition right now for March Fatness?
Dave was on point. I had a couple of listeners try to throw me off and give me like sugary like mixed shots, which, of course, you know, it didn't really throw me off. I took them anyway. And I had like maybe a beer. But Dave, I mean, all night with just a steady flow of vodka soda. Just no caloric intake with his drinks or any carbs or that sort or anything.
All right, you're still feeling pretty good that you're on track for the win?
I got it. I think Dave is really scared. I had a little heart-to-heart with him on Saturday night. I think he's actually nervous. I think he knows who the winner is going to be.
I can't believe I'm saying this. You do look a little thinner.
Oh, yes!
I don't know how that's possible.
I love it. It's working.
All right. Well, the weigh-in will be on March 31st. Quick break. We'll talk to TMZ.com's Harvey Levin right after this on K-Rock. Coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll tell you how you can be the opening act for the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness concert, which is coming up fast, the 31st of March. We're in March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost, in a couple weeks, Bean.
I almost had a stroke. Guys,
daylight saving.
It's the time change. I almost had a stroke. I'm one of those guys. Anyway, we'll tell you how you can open the show coming up. First, though, I knew what Harvey was going to want to talk about when we went to him in the newsroom at TMZ.com, because your man OJ was on television again last night. Harvey, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. Refresh our listeners' memory of what you were doing back during the O.J. Simpson trial days.
That was my life.
That's all you did for like 3 years,
I
right?
I was reporting it for CBS in Los Angeles, and that essentially was my life for a couple of years. It was from the, you know, hours after the murders till, you know, long after the civil verdict. But I got to tell you, as disgusting as he is, he outdid himself on this show. I mean,
because it was so gross.
First of all, he confessed to murder. I mean, I guess that's the headline, right? I mean, he has finally confessed to murder.
Well, he would argue that he was being told to hypothetically describe how he would have done it, right? And he'll say that's all he was trying to do was play by the parameters that were given him.
You ever heard of anybody who goes to the police and by accident they say things and it turns out to be a confession?
Sure.
That's exactly what happened last night.
That's what
he wanted to do, a hypothetical, which, by the way, the hypothetical itself proves he's the murderer, because he says in the show that nobody knows what happened better than me. Well, that means the only person who knows more than anybody is the one who murdered them, because there are only three people there and two of them are dead.
Certainly.
So if he says, which he did, nobody knows what happened better than me, right there he's saying he's the murderer. But that said, I'll give him that. He starts talking hypothetically, and he's like painfully saying, well, this is hypothetical, and I put a glove on, and this is hypothetical, and then I put a cap on, and this is hypothetical. And then all of a sudden, when he gets to Ron Goldman coming in the gate with the sunglasses of Nicole's mother that she had left at the restaurant where Ron worked, and OJ sees Ron believing that Nicole was about to have a guy over, all of a sudden he lapses, and everything from that point on is first person. I grabbed the knife. He said to me, he gets in a karate stance, and I said to him, what are you going to do, kick my ass? And then we started arguing, and Soledad O'Brien, Judith Reagan, who interviewed him, says, what, you got physical with him? And he says, no, it was verbal. So he's explaining all of this, and all of a sudden, after he describes how he murdered them, you see him just kind of like, you know, like awaken almost. And he says, oh my God, this is hypothetical. And he just gives this belly laugh. So he's just described how he murdered the mother of his kids. And what his reaction is to break into laughter. It was just disgusting.
Well, it's all... It's
Harvey,
awful.
I'm sorry, Bean, but Harvey, you're, as a man of the law, I mean, you understand, as an attorney, the kind of liability or where he could get himself on the hook. First off...
No, he can't. He can't. It's done.
Why
it's
is that?
Because there's such a thing as double jeopardy.
Okay.
O.J. Simpson was found not guilty of murder, so he can never, ever be retried for murder. And in terms of a civil judgment, that happened in 1995. or six, it happened in 1996, where O.J. was required to pay $33.5 million to the Browns and the Goldmans. So it's all done. I mean, there's nothing more that can happen to him legally. And Judith Regan told Soledad O'Brien when this first started, where they approached her about doing a book, O.J.'s lawyer said, look, you know, we would call it I did it, but the reason we have to put the word if in is that he needs some deniability for the sake of his children. So,
oh, man. You know,
Harvey, it's just unbelievable.
Who is this Charlie that he kept referencing last night as being a friend who was with him that night? Is this a person that exists, or is this someone in O.J.'s head?
I don't know if Charlie is made up. I mean, look, he did lie about some things. He says at one point, Nicole came out and said, get the blank off my property, when she saw him screaming at Ron. And O.J. says she fell and hurt herself. She didn't fall. He hit her with the blunt end of the knife in that face, and that's why she fell to the ground. So he did lie. I mean, what a shock, he lied. So is there really a Charlie? I don't know. I mean, I don't totally discount this, but, you know, there were never any other footprints found in blood other than OJ's. So I don't know where Charlie would have been in connection with all of this, because the whole place was covered in blood. So I don't know the answer to that. I mean, somebody, he even said somebody clearly helped him clean up things by getting rid of the clothes and the knife. I mean, he says it. It was a flat-out confession.
What do you make of Fox's decision after 12 years of this sitting on a shelf to pull it out last night to go up against American Idol? Do you have any respect at all for them for airing this?
Well, I wish it would have aired 12 years ago, but the Goldmans and the Browns were behind this time. They were really against it last time. They wanted this out this time. So, I think that one of the decisions was made based on the families, because they were so outraged that it would have been politically difficult for Fox to do back then. I'm glad they aired it. I mean, my beef with Fox is, why did they call it the lost confession? It was never lost. It was just put on a shelf because they knew where it was.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad they aired it. I mean, now, because these ridiculous people who think that O.J. Simpson was set up by cops, these ridiculous people who think that. O.J. Simpson himself admits that he lost a glove at the scene of the murders, although the prosecution got it wrong. They thought he lost it in the fight. But he says he took the glove off when Charlie handed him the knife, because I guess he wanted to wield it better without a glove. And he said, I must have left it there. So for everybody who thinks the gloves were planted, O.J. Simpson just told you were wrong.
You were already at 100% sure that O.J. did it, right, before last night?
At least.
Yeah, so that hasn't changed.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, you know, the bigger thing is, you know, it reminds me of Watergate when, you know, there were a group of people, even after the tapes came out, that still supported Richard Nixon and said it was a setup. I mean, the people who believe O.J. is not guilty are the same type of people who believe Nixon wasn't involved in Watergate. So, I just think, finally, and by the way, one other thing, Chris Darden, who was also on the panel, called out Kanye West for wearing a free O.J. T-shirt, and he just had such a great line. He said, you want O.J. free? Well, this is who you freed. And it's just such a powerful line.
Wow.
It's such a powerful line.
What kind we're out of time, Harvey, but what kind of comments are you getting from your readers on TMZ about the interview last night?
I'm actually
any O.J.
really
support?
There are some, but no, most, just about everybody says we knew it anyway. But gotcha. I got to tell you, the one thing that shocked me, and, you know, I put this up myself last night. I wrote it and put it up. And I was just thinking to myself, I wonder if people are going to care because it's 25 years ago and there are a lot of people who weren't around or were too young or whatever. It is like it just went up like a rocket ship on our site.
Oh, yeah. We got thousands of comments already. Yeah.
People care about this.
People care.
And, you know, 24 years later, they care.
Very distasteful, that's for sure.
Yeah.
TMZ
yeah.
airs on Fox Channel 11. There's Fox again throughout the day. And, of course, TMZ Live at 4 p.m. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Harvey, thank you. Great job. We'll do it again next week, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. We'll see.
Bye-bye. All right. Is this fair to say? If you like the rock music, you'll want to hear what we have for you at 7 a.m. That's not giving too much away, right?
I'll support you on that.
Okay. Allie, you good with that?
Stop talking about it, Bean.
Super secret thing at 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It is Monday morning. Sad news in Pasadena. I believe we mentioned on the air last week that Flippy, the burger-flipping robot, had started work at a restaurant there.
Yeah, Kelly Burger.
I 100% support the robot being named Flippy, by the way. Flippy was a robot, as Allie mentioned, at Cali Burger in Pasadena, and Flippy was supposed to be capable of cooking up to 2,000 hamburgers a day. So, Mike, what went wrong out there? It sounds like that's a perfect place for Flippy. How was he taken off the job after just one day?
He apparently just couldn't hack it. He wasn't living up to his expectations, I guess. The demands of the job.
Is it because the restaurant got so much press that they were just swamped and he just couldn't flip burgers fast enough or something?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the novelty definitely had something to do with it. People wanted to be a part of it, but 2,000 burgers a day sounds like he should have been able to handle it.
I would think Flippy. So, too. Although maybe, you know, this was obviously already a successful, popular burger joint. Maybe it was just tough to reconfigure the kitchen so that the human employees could work around Flippy and all kind of work in concert with one another.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, they've released some tape of Flippy on the job to kind of give us some insight into why Flippy was so incompetent. But, okay. I mean, I still have a hard time understanding this whole story.
All right. Well, I haven't heard this tape, but I'm curious. So you're telling me this is Flippy on the job on his one and only day at Cali Burger in Pasadena.
Yep. You got it.
Let's check it out.
You want what? I'm listening to the new Paramore. It's so good. Your tattoos are stupid. Why don't you speak English better? You want a burger with what? I'm so tired. It's so hard to work every day. They want me to show up here 5 days a week. Oh, that's too much. I love the Dodgers. Do you like the Dodgers? Your tattoos are stupid. Oh.
Flippy had a little Davitude there, didn't he?
I don't understand.
Flappy.
There's some more tape. I mean, I feel like Flippy really wasn't programmed well.
No.
It doesn't sound like a top-notch employee.
Mm-mm. That sounds ill-suited for that work, yes.
Do you like pandas? I love pandas. They're so cute. And they have nice faces. Oh, I want to hug them and give them love.
Hey, can I get my burger?
Forget your burger. Your burger.
Oh.
I hate windshield wipers. sweaters.
You can just hear the hamburger sizzling away.
Right.
There's no flipping.
I'm sure there was a lot of burning. Not a lot of flipping.
Not good.
He's ill-suited to that position.
That's the least you could say.
Si me puedes dar una hamburguesa sin queso con papas fritas?
No, don't speak Spanish. Oh, stop it with Spanish. I can't speak a word. I know it says I'm bilingual because I can barely speak English and you can't understand me because of my stupid accent, but I don't speak Spanish. Spanish is stupid. Please.
Hey, Flippy, wake up!
Clippers!
I mean, I think they did the right thing by letting Flippy go.
Sounds like it.
New edition of Cheers with a Beer Mug. He took the K-Rock microphones out this weekend. We'll find out what his topic was coming up right after the top of the hour. And a super secret thing we're not allowed to discuss further happening right after Allie's What's Happening here on this Monday morning.
Bean.
Yes, dear.
What's wrong with you?
Oh. I said we can't talk about it.
You can't help it. Why?
But I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying there's a super secret thing that you're going to love that's awesome, but we're not allowed to give you any more details about it until 7 a.m. That's all.
Or really any of those details that it was even happening. Right?
Coming up next.
All right. All right. Good stuff. Hey, you guys know about PaleyFest, right?
Sure. Sure.
It is a blast, and it kicks off this Friday and goes through the 25th at the Dolby Theater. If you don't know what it is, it's essentially all the great shows. They get the cast up there, the writers, the showrunners, the producers, and they talk about the show. There's a big panel. You can ask them questions. It's a really intimate setting for, you know, being in the same room as some of the biggest stars in Hollywood and finding out how they put their shows on the air. Well, it is kicking off this weekend. And how would you, fans of the Orville, like to go this Saturday at 2 p.m. and see their PaleyFest panel?
Yay! Sick.
All right, kids. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and caller 10. You are going to get a pair of passes to PaleyFest 2018. This Saturday, 2 p.m., the Orville. Enjoy that.
That's Seth MacFarlane, you guys. Anytime you get a chance to hang out with Seth MacFarlane, take it.
You guys.
Yes.
The lottery.
Yes.
Seriously.
Did you win?
Still no winner in Mega Millions or the Powerball. So that means that Tuesday night's drawing for the Mega Millions, $318 million. That's a $187 million cash value. And Powerball is now up to $420 million. That's a $248 million cash value. And that drawing is on Wednesday. So, my God, why? What's happening? No one is winning.
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I might go buy my first ticket ever.
First ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
That just seems like now they're grasping at straws. No one's winning.
Right? They're like, please buy a ticket, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in. Which one are you going to get? Mega Millions or Powerball? Or both?
Why not both?
Fact that no one wins further make you realize how difficult it is to win that game?
Should we talk about odds?
Let's not get into that. But millions and millions and millions of people are buying tickets and nobody's winning. That's because it's very difficult to win.
But do the odd. Because
don't
the,
do it, Mike.
Wait. No,
Mike,
I'm just going to ask
don't
a
do
simple
it.
Question.
No.
Because I don't
no.
know much about lottery.
Don't do it.
Okay.
I'm buying two tickets, doubles your chances.
Don't do
right,
it.
That is true.
Don't do it.
We have waded into these waters before, Mike, and they are piranha infested.
Okay.
It's bad. It's bad how dumb we are. And no matter how many people explain odds to us, then they're wrong, and then the next caller's none of it.
Well, let's just say it's hard.
If you buy five tickets, you have a 50-50 chance of winning the jackpot. That's what I know.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, plus math makes Allie poop.
It does. It definitely does. Hey, guys, Bravo Network, putting together a limited series about the Beatles manager Brian Epstein.
Nope.
It's based on the Dark Horse comic graphic novel, The Fifth Beatle, the Brian Epstein story. Bean, you in?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how many Beatles shows and stories you can read and see. Maybe.
But it's about him, and it's his life as a closeted gay man, Jewish gay man living in the 1960s in England, where homosexuality was a felony back then.
Damn!
And then he discovered the Beatles and the Cavern Club in Liverpool, and he signed the band without any prior experience or artist management.
That might be okay.
Yeah.
That might be interesting. Yeah.
It might be some new stuff.
Lost me at Bravo.
You're not a Bravo guy?
No. Not so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Does the Real Housewives just ruin that channel for you, Mike?
Yeah, all that whole thing. I mean, I lost my ability to just watch a show because I'm angry at everybody.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore.
But I feel like this isn't that type of thing. So it's different.
Because this is an actual series,
this
right?
This is, yeah. Yeah, right. Limited series.
Well, I'll cut it way more slack then.
Okay. Yeah, not a Housewives kind of guy?
I can't do that. I can't do the we're on a boat and rich and angry and I can't do Persian people that yell.
Yeah.
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 None of it.
Anytime you set up shows where it's just people getting mad at each other, I think it's a bad premise.
I understand the intrigue, but it's not for me.
I don't understand the intrigue. Yeah. That's the thing.
I haven't seen Persian People Who Yell, the series that Mike's referring to.
Well, that sounds great. I don't know. I just feel like that Andy Cohen guy is like, let's get women to scream at each other and show the worst of female relationships.
Right. But
that'll be a hit.
I have World Star. I mean, that does that way better to me.
It is true. All right.
And I get at the very end, you get the fist fight. You know, like there's no payoff with
Real Housewives and Andy Cohen watching people kind of curating yelling.
Okay.
The Shaws of Sunset never end up in a Waffle House at 2 a.m.
Right. That's what I want to see.
Okay.
Five-hit combo to the dome after you're done yelling.
Wow. All right. Mike has high demands for his watching. Good stuff. Some birthdays for you. Actress Jamie Alexander, actress Liza Minnelli, actor Courtney B. Vance, and porn star Ron Jeremy. That's
Hedgehog.
What's happening.
That is a brand new music from a band called Pearl Jam. I think they have potential. I think you'll be hearing some good things about them in the years to come. And a new song is called Can't Deny Me. It's their first new original Pearl Jam song in 5 years, you guys.
Wow.
How about that?
I
Can't
liked
Deny
it.
Me, new Pearl Jam. Yeah, it sounded pretty fun, I think. Hey, Michael, I'm glad you're here.
Okay.
Muggs is here as well. He and Dave are in competition, as you know, for the weigh-in on March 31st at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness to find out who loses the most weight for March fatness.
That's right.
And Muggs, I understand you crowdsourced it a little bit.
I decided
to get a little advice from the K-Rock listeners.
Yeah, you know, I think for the most part, the listeners want both Dave and I to succeed. So I wanted to go around. The Slide Bar in Fullerton is where we were on Saturday night for Lightning's going away party. Mm-hmm. So I decided to walk around that bar and get people's opinions and tips on how I can beat Dave in the March Fatness competition.
All right. I am very eager to hear what they came up with. It's time for Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh.
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. It's a great intro. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Who's gonna win? Who's gonna win the March Madness competition between me and Dave?
Without question, you are. And it's not because you're interviewing me. It's because Dave will not be able to pull it together at the last minute. And I know that you will. I know that you have the fortitude to wait to the last minute and drop pounds like crazy.
Lightning, I love you so much that you said that. I come here, let's make out again.
No, let's not make out again. Get away from me!
You gotta watch that caloric deficit. You gotta burn more calories than you intake. That's what you gotta do. If you wanna drink beer all day, you just gotta burn more calories than beer you drink. That's what you gotta do. Beat Dave the King of Mexico. Beat the out of him. Yeah!
He's done!
Done!
Would you say low carb's the way to go?
Definitely. I mean, you just got to be conscious of the food you take in every day. I mean, you don't necessarily need to work out. Just change your habits a little bit. Just watch everything you put in your body. Just switch it up a little bit. I mean, instead of fried food, get something grilled. Portion control. Watch your fats, low carbs.
Dave, I'm drinking beer right now. You better be scared. Johnny's giving me his beer. You better be scared, son. Invisible Phone Op Ruben, what do I need to do to beat Dave the King of Mexico in the 2018 March Fatness Competition?
The first thing you got to do is stop yelling into the microphone.
DJ Omar Khan, what do I need to do to beat Lightning? Holy I'm f***ed up. Who do you think's going to win? I want your opinion.
For me, I would definitely put my money on you. You know what?
Yeah, Omar! That's right, baby!
The reason is because you're Mr. Extreme. So, if you are, like, down to, like, the last week and you're still super fat, you're going to, like, not eat at all. You know what I mean? You're not going to drink water. You will pass out on that stage when you get weighed. So, my money's on you, Muggs.
In other words, you're saying, Omar, that I'm not sane.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Muggs.
Oh, Muggs is definitely going to win the challenge. KOM has no chance.
Thank you, Larry! That's what the I'm talking about,
my... Oh, my God.
Just drink beer. Drink more calories in beer. And then, if you get hungry, eat bananas.
But hold on, Simba. What if I told you that the beer diet doesn't work for me and it only makes me hungry if I'm only drinking beer?
Eat bananas. They're fruits. And there's no sugar in bananas.
There's no sugar in bananas?
Bananas give you energy. There's no sugar. It's all potassium. Okay, maybe a little bit of sugar. I mean...
Excuse me, Dave the King of Mexico, what do I need to do to beat you in the March Fatness competition?
Well, what you really need to do is go on the crispy diet, where you get Krispy Kreme donuts every morning and eat them.
You know what? I think I could do that and still beat you.
Yeah, I bet you can. You should try it.
Ashley, do you guys think I could beat Dave the King of Mexico in the March Madness competition?
Not a chance.
Not right now.
No.
Wow. Muggs, how drunk were you on Saturday night?
So drunk. Just gallons of vodka drunk.
That sounds like that was the worst condition we've heard you
that
in.
Was.
That was pretty rough.
That was
all right,
bad.
Let me ask you two follow-up March Madness questions. So, Mike, I saw you shaking your head with the guy who dropped knowledge on us that there's no sugar in bananas.
Yeah.
How healthy or unhealthy is a banana?
Not very healthy. I mean,
really?
It really is.
I eat them all the time. I love them.
It's certainly, if you account for the fact that they are, unlike that man pointed out, they're almost pure sugar. You know, and
is that why they're so good?
And it's pure fructose, which is a really readily digested form of sugar, which makes your blood sugar and your insulin release like really high. It's a, you know, it's like it's healthy, filled with a lot of micronutrients, but it's not something I would recommend for weight loss.
That would make you more hungry too, right?
Yeah, like, typically. Yeah.
Isn't it the potassium that's why so many people have bananas when they're hungover, because it replenishes their potassium?
And potassium has been proven, other minerals as well, to help with things like dehydration, which are common with hangovers. But we're talking weight loss. And,
yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
that's right.
It's okay. Like, well, you're going to eat 90 to 110 calories of pure sugar, you know, like, have a Laffy Taffy.
So don't eat bananas with a beer diet is what you're saying.
No, I say go for it. I'm just saying I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, last question then, and that is, we've been hearing a lot of people kind of tipping their hands that they think what Muggs' strategy is to just kind of coast until the final week of the March Fatness competition and then go on some sort of crazy, crazy weight loss in those final hours. Is there any way to, I mean, what's the most you can lose, like, in that last 2 days or something like that? Because I know that Muggs is probably going to, you know, stop eating, stop drinking, dehydrate himself.
Yeah. When it comes, if you factor in water weight as well, you can lose like 20, 30 pounds in the 48-hour
Well,
span.
you can win with a strategy like that then.
That is wildly unhealthy. I mean, listen, guys who are boxers, MMA fighters, peak physical condition, they struggle to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They get on the scale sometimes and they look like a dead man walking. They pass out in saunas. This has an incredibly negative effect, like just a huge negative impact on your body. Beer Mug is far from peak physical condition.
How dare you?
And he's going to try this. So let's see how it goes.
I can't wait. March Fatness, we weigh them at April Foolishness, and then the loser sings Britney Spears' Baby One More Time on stage. Great sesh with the K-Rock microphones there, Beer Mug. Cheers with Beer Mug. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You guys remember last week, we were giving away tickets every day to see Imagine Dragons in Southern California, and then eligible for the grand prize drawing to see them again in Sydney, Australia. Well, we promised you Monday morning was going to be the grand prize drawing for that. Michael Catherwood, who's our winner, please?
It is, live and direct from Baldwin Park, California, Fred Ramirez.
Yeah. Way to go, Fred.
Way to go, Fred. Dude, a free trip to Sydney, Australia with airfare, hotel, and tickets to see Imagine Dragons in that great country? That's an amazing prize right there.
Sure is.
I love it. All right. April Foolishness is fast approaching, you guys. As you know, it is March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Gabriel Iglesias and Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana. Music and video by DJ Mike Realm, which always makes it a party. But there's one slot left for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness concert, and that is for you. We are here to announce the 2017 Opening Act Contest. If you are a stand-up comedian and you would like to be on that stage opening up for all those great comedians, we are looking for you. Mike, you do a little stand-up comedy. We were talking to you about that last hour. You did some this weekend in Santa Barbara. How terrifying would it be to walk out on stage at the Microsoft Theater that night knowing that people are there to see the greats like Brian Callen and Fluffy?
I would imagine it's probably pretty overwhelming. It's kind of like if you're in a band and you open up for Slayer, you know nobody's there to see you, and they
nobody's
probably have
you,
no
right.
idea who you are. So here you go. Here's a big crowd.
Well, we have done this several years in a row, and the rules are the same. You can find them all at krock.com. If you consider yourself funny, we want to see your video. You have to be 18 or over We're looking for you to complete your submission and send us a YouTube link of your comedy act. You have 2 weeks to get this together, by the way. So this is it's not like you have to have it done by lunchtime or anything like that. The deadline to enter is going to be next Friday, March 23rd at 10 a.m. And then on the following Monday, the 26th, we will announce the finalists. In 2015, Eddie Pence was the opening act winner. Very funny guy. 2016, Grant Cotter was the opening act winner. And last year, a young man by the name of Julian Fernandez opened up the bill for us for April Foolishness. And he's on the phone with us right now. Hey, Julian, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Bean, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for getting on the phone here this morning. So I have that right. I got the chronology correct. You were the opening act winner last year, right?
That's right.
Okay, so talk us through what that process was like for you, especially for people who are listening right now thinking, I don't know if I want to try. This sounds too hard or it's too scary or whatever. Like, what was the light bulb that went over your head that made you go for it?
You know, honestly, it was my sister. It was like middle of March, middle of the competition and everything. And my sister just told me, like, why don't you just submit? Wouldn't it hurt? It's not, you know, it doesn't cost anything or anything like that. You know, it's not going to hurt anybody. So I was like, yeah, I'll totally just go ahead and just do it.
Mm-hmm. And what? Where were you in your stand-up career at that point? How much work were you doing?
You know, I was doing fairly, like, I want to say, I wasn't doing like a lot, but you know, I was doing plenty of shows here and there. I was about 7 years in or so.
7 years in, and you were doing what? Open mics and stuff.
Yeah, open mics. I was doing some book shows, some paid spots here and there. Barely starting to headline here and there, so too. But yeah.
But I can imagine that venue must have been completely overwhelming compared to what you were used to.
Oh yeah, definitely. 6,300 is a lot more than I'm used to.
And how did you decide? You know, you had a lot of stand-up material to choose from, and I'm asking you these questions because I know there are people listening who are the wheels are turning in their head right now, and they're thinking about entering this year. How did you decide what to put on the tape, and how did you go about making the tape that you sent us, Julian?
You know, that tape specifically was the one I've been using for a long time, to submit to festivals, to submit to bookers, producers, and everything. And that was just the one that I was just like, you know what, you guys need 5 minutes. I was like, this one's probably going to be the best one I can send in. So right. I thought, why not?
Okay. All right. So you submitted your video, and then you ended up being one of the top 10 finalists. And then what's the next step? Did you, like, try to get a social media campaign going to get a bunch of people to vote for you?
No, that was all my mom.
Awesome.
My mom loves you guys. I think we talked about that last year when I was at the – when we were at the Shrine and everything. You know, she loves you guys, and you know, when I told her, you know, I submitted and I got the top 10, she flipped out, immediately got on her Facebook and just started telling her friends to tell their friends to tell their friends.
That's fantastic.
And it became this whole big tree thing, and then I did my part as well, but I think that definitely helped out with just family just kind of helping behind me and everything, pushing to get people to vote.
Having your mom take care of all that is very brown of you. I'm very proud of you.
Well, I think whoever gets in the top 10 this year needs to get in touch with Julian's mom, it sounds like. It sounds like she's got it down, man, that kind of campaigning. What other advice would you give, Julian, for people like you, aspiring stand-up comedians who are listening to this and thinking, should I go for it or not? What would you tell them?
Honestly, go for it. It's not going to hurt. You know, you guys aren't going to, like, tell people, yeah, the tape sucked, sorry. You're not going to tell anybody that. So it's not like they're going to get any kind of bad negative feedback. If they make the top 10, that's great. That's already an achievement in itself. And then it's just pushing to get that spot.
Yep. Hey, look.
You just never really know.
The whole idea about, you know, entering a contest like this is to try to get your material in front of eyeballs. So whether you win or not, you're going to get on the K-Rock website, and a lot of people are going to scroll through and look at you as they decide who to vote for. So let me give you the details again. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness Opening Act Contest is open as of right now, 18 and up. You send us a YouTube link to your comedy, 18 and over, please. I think I mentioned that. The deadline is next Friday, March 23rd, so you've got 2 weeks to get it together, and then we do the top 10 finalists the following Monday, March 26th. Julian, I see here that you've got some comedy coming up. You're playing the MI Westside Comedy Theater, 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica, April 9th, and a locally grown comedy event at Vitello's in LA on April the 24th. And your website is what, for people who want to keep track of where you are right now, Julian?
Everything is JJF Comedy, JJFComedy.com, and all my social media stuff is at JJF Comedy. And I got some new stuff I'm working on, so I definitely now is a good time to follow me on especially Instagram. So
okay, sure, we'll do. And you were fantastic opening our show last year, Julian. We really enjoyed having you, and I'm glad we've had the opportunity to keep in touch. And thanks for the advice for the up and coming Julian Fernandezes of the world. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the world-famous Kerik at 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, a few minutes ago, we debuted a brand-new song from Pearl Jam called Can't Deny Me that sounded pretty good. I'd like to try to figure out a way to play that again before the end of the program. Good to have PJ back. It is 7:35 and time for a little feature we like to call Great News.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for Great News today.
Great news! It's a little respite from the onslaught of bad news that we see every single day. Alan McKay, why don't you go up first today?
Mine has to do with a picture that you might have seen. It went very viral of a young woman at a Waffle House. She's one of the servers there. That took the time to cut up the food of an elderly man that apparently was struggling with the food in front of him. A woman posted online, I don't know her name, but I heard the elderly man tell her that his hands don't work too good. He was also on oxygen and struggling to breathe. And without hesitation, she took his plate and began cutting up his ham. This may seem small, but to him, I'm sure it was huge. I'm thankful to have seen this act of kindness and caring at the start of my day while everything in the world seems so negative. If we could all be like this waitress and take time to offer a helping hand. And it's such a beautiful picture of her just reaching over and just cutting up his food for him, making his day a little bit easier. Well, that went viral. Hundreds of thousands of people saw it and they began tagging Ebony Williams, who is an 18-year-old girl from Galveston, Texas. And then city officials got involved and they proclaimed with Williams at a press conference that March 8th was declared Ebony Williams Day. And then they brought out the president of Texas Southern University, who gave her a $16,000 college scholarship, which wow. is why she was working at the Waffle House, was to raise money to be able to go to college. So just something as simple as an act of kindness that so many of us just overlook every single day, for that to have blown up and then benefited her in such a beautiful way. That is my great news.
Let me tell you what my favorite thing is about that story with Ebony Williams. Is that she's 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a 45-year-old woman who has lived. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is somebody who's just pure at heart, that she would do something like that for an elderly person at her age.
Yeah. And she wound up saying at the press conference, she said, that's just me. It just came from the heart. I'd do it any other time, not just this time. So
that's adorable.
She was raised right.
I love it. All right, Michael, you're up next, sir.
Awesome story. In 1980, a man by the name of Malcolm Alexander was put behind bars for life, a life sentence for rape that he claims from the beginning he did not commit. The Innocence Project believed him, and just in January of this year, he was released. He was put behind bars in 1980. He spent 38 years in prison for a crime that DNA evidence shows he absolutely, without a doubt, no ifs, ands, or buts, did not commit this crime.
Oh, my God.
During this time, behind bars, almost 40 years, he kept a very positive, upbeat attitude. One of the reasons why is for the last 9 years, he's been raising a rescue puppy named Inn, short for innocent.
Oh.
I named her Inn because I was innocent and she was too. I always would tell her, day in and day out, one of these days, just be patient. One of these days, Inn, we're going to get out of here.
She is this a program in the prison where you're allowed to have a dog, or did he get it smuggled in?
No, many of these states have in the penitentiary a program where people can raise, inmates can raise dogs, and it's been shown to be incredibly therapeutic and helpful.
What state was this man in?
This is in Louisiana. This is actually...
Out of curiosity...
I'm in business then if I go to jail.
Right.
Out of curiosity, Bean, how does one smuggle in a dog to prison?
I was curious. That was going to be my follow-up question, is how did he keep the dog a secret from people who, you know, who worked there in the prison?
Okay.
But it sounds like the dog was authorized, so I guess it's okay. I withdraw my line of questioning, okay. Your Honor.
Malcolm... A teacup Yorkie or something. I mean, you could think there's an orifice.
Oh my! That's not what this feature's about.
I'm just saying. Malcolm actually has April 22nd tattooed on his body. I wrote it on my body, right on my heart. It's her birthday. I can remember her birthday better than I can remember my own. So, as I pointed out, after 38 years, the Innocence Project got this man exonerated, and he is released from prison back with his family. But the state of Louisiana agreed to let him take in with him.
Aw,
so now,
nice.
He has his family, he has his dog, and he has let the things that have happened in the past, and I quote, "I let what happened in the past be gone. Let's move on. Simple," he said. "I'm surrounded by pure love. I have my family, I have my dog, and for that I am blessed."
Oh, my goodness.
Come on!
Please tell me he got a huge payout from the state, though.
You know, actually, that's the part of the story I didn't want to get into, because right now he's looking at maximum $250,000. Now, don't get me wrong. That's nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, but it's not 38 years, man.
It's not 38 years worth. They're petitioning to get that raise, but...
Thank God for the Innocence Project and the amazing work that they do.
I mean, legitimate heroes.
Yes.
You know, the things that they do.
And the takeaway here is he's got a dog. He's got a dog that makes him happy. You know what I mean? I'm sure the dog is relieved to not be, you know, pulled away from his owner of 9 years too, just because he got out of jail. I'm happy that they are still together. That's all. That's great news, Michael.
That is, in fact, great news.
I didn't know until this weekend, but our old friend Mike Rowe, who you remember from the Dirty Jobs, is that what it was? Mm-hmm. Dirty Jobs,
right.
Dirty Work. Great, great guy. One of the best voices in all of broadcasting. He has a YouTube series called Returning the Favor, where he spotlights compassionate individuals in the community who dedicate their lives to helping others. And he introduced me to an 82-year-old named Alton Thacker. You won't believe what he has been doing in his retirement for the last 16 years.
Tiny Tim was a real person. We met him while we were in Mexico, and he was severely handicapped. And he taught us that if you want to be happy, you do something for somebody else. We started the Tiny Tim Foundation for Kids back in 1996, and it has been a blessing to our lives. The average age of the people who work at the toy factory is 72 now. When a senior citizen comes in and they do something for a little person, they feel younger. The toys are made here locally, and they go all over the world. Last year, we gave away 85,000. To see the life light up just over a little block of wood with four wheels, it's sheer joy.
So this is what he and the other retirees do there in a suburban Salt Lake City, Utah factory, is that the youngest, by the way, is 72 who works in the factory. The oldest is 93. And they go in there in their off time, and they build little wooden toy cars that they then hand out in the community and around the world. And in fact, citizens can stop by and be handed a box of 100 toy cars if they're going on vacation to Costa Rica or something, or to Mexico or to Poland or wherever they're going. Take these toys with you and hand them out to little kids everywhere. This year, they will cross the 1 million toys made mark. Is that unbelievable or not?
It's incredible.
So Mike Rowe tracked him down, and it's a very sweet episode. Again, you should definitely check it out if you can. The show is called Returning the Favor, and they put a surprise parade together for this guy, Mr. Thacker, where they had, you know, they declared it his day and everything like that. And they took an ATV, and they transformed it so that it looks like one of his wooden toys and gave it to him so that he can drive it around in all the parades and stuff.
Nice! Aww.
Can imagine. And they also paid his rent on the factory space for a year. It's a very sweet story. So they are giving back to this man and his fellow retirees who are giving back so much. I just love something as simple as just making a little toy car and handing it to a kid. how much they both benefit on either end of that. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, wonderful story and a wonderful man, too. And that's my great news.
This life is more than just a read-through. Bring a bong, Burbank. Glendale. Bring a bong, Burbank. Abracadabra, California. Cation is the best.
Right?
Right.
Right.
Hey, it's 7:53 here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Omar has insisted that I bring you the audio of the 50-year-old vampire who has to drink blood. Has to. Can't not drink blood.
Omar's right on this one.
Is
really?
He?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Is he?
We're going to meet Julia Dark Rose coming up right after the top of the hour. And then what's the worst movie you ever saw? We're going to be discussing. So bad that you walked out of the theater for. So that's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First on this Monday morning, Allie, what's happening?
What's happening is we are all struggling.
Yeah.
We have all commented, good Lord. I think this is hitting me worse than it has in years. This
time,
about
the time change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think because it was also kind of gloomy and stuff yesterday and this morning?
Maybe.
I think that adds to the feeling of fatigue and kind of just being a little bit dull.
Yeah.
It is weird, though, that an hour in the middle of the night over the weekend would still have repercussions on Monday. But I don't think we're alone in this, Allie. I think there are a lot of people who are still feeling it.
Yeah.
Even though it's only 60 minutes, it screws you up.
It does. Jimmy Kimmel used to say it would screw him up for what, close to a month?
Yeah. At least 3 weeks, Jimmy would be behind the eight ball after a time change.
I feel like I'm Team Jimmy on this one. I never was, but wow, it is hitting me hard today. Hey guys, Norm MacDonald's Netflix talk show is officially a go.
That is huge.
Yes, he has been given a 10-episode series order for Norm MacDonald Has a Show. E-I-E-I-O. The series will feature MacDonald and his sidekick, Adam Egget, and a single celebrity guest each week. And MacDonald will executive produce, and David Letterman is serving an advisory role. Hmm. So,
but where are the names?
Where are the names?
See, that was a joke because it's a lot of talent.
It's a lot of talent, yeah. And he was saying that his podcast basically was his tryout. He was doing this podcast to get ears and people thinking, I could see him back on TV again. And it worked.
I can understand how his dry delivery is not for everyone, but in my opinion, he is easily one of the funniest people on the planet.
He's a genius. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to be watching that for sure. How about you, Bean?
Yeah, I think I'm in.
Okay.
I think I'm in. I like Norm, and he does get great guests.
For sure. Poor Olivia Munn. I mean, she could take a picture with someone, all of a sudden they're dating, or she could just, you know, be alive, and all of a sudden she is dating. She has no interest in Jennifer Aniston's leftovers, though. She sounded off on Instagram on Friday to deny an In Touch Weekly story that claims that she is headed towards a romance with Justin Theroux. Olivia begged the tabloids to, quote, please stop matching me with my friends' exes. It's just not my style.
Did they have lunch or something?
It doesn't even say that. I think it just people pick up stuff. It's just it's bizarre. What was the last one?
Chris Pratt.
And then Anna Faris came out and was like, if you wanted to, that'd be great. I think you'd be great together. She's like, no, can I just not date people? It's just, it's very bizarre.
I think
there's a lot of shipping going on between celebrities, too.
Bean, with the shipping.
He's right. Not what it's called?
It is for 12-year-old girls.
But he's right. I mean, and it makes sense because if I'm a celebrity of a certain level, I just can't imagine a regular old Joe understanding my life. And it probably seems very appealing to have someone who can kind of understand where I'm at. And you kind of date in those weird worlds.
Mm. Okay. But poor Olivia.
And all the hot dudes. Let's be real.
What's happening right now? I don't know.
She's dating Be Real?
Again, we're all struggling.
No doubt about it.
Guys.
She's dating, no doubt.
I can't with either of you right now. Are you done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're done.
Can't think of any.
Pizza Hut is launching a second version of its pizza ordering sneakers just in time for March Madness.
F
You.
Yep. But you may say, no, we already had those sneakers that you could order with just a touch of a button. But unlike last year's model, this new version can also pause live TV.
What?
Who needs this? This is insane. It is PiTops 2. They are equipped with Bluetooth technology that links the shoe to the user's phone and PiTops app, allowing them to press a smart button in the shoe's tongue and instantly submit a pizza order and apparently pause live television.
What do those run?
It does not say in this article, but I don't imagine that they're cheap.
I have this vision of stories like this being filtered out and shipped off to places like Iran and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And there's just this bevy of reasons why they hate America.
Right. Just you know, a surplus of shoes because no one bought them here.
Right.
Yeah.
They ordered pizza with their shoes and it pauses their TV. Ah! The Wait, decadence.
How lazy are we as a people?
Horrible.
Yeah. I'm not going to order another pair. What I'm saying. Some birthdays for you. Liza Minnelli, Jamie Alexander, Ron Jeremy, Courtney B. Vance. And that's what's happening.
Two great reasons to keep listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this next half hour or so. We've got a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets you can win in minutes. And also, we're going to hook you up with passes for this Saturday, a rare Saturday HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. Why Saturday? Because it's St. Patrick's Day and the band is Flogging Molly, you guys. So if you want to be there in person for a little afternoon St. Patrick's Day celebration with a great band, Flogging Molly, stick around. We got that for you at the coming up before the, now in the end of the hour as well. All right. We did a scientific survey a couple of weeks ago about a pitch that Dave, our producer, got for a woman who describes herself as a real live vampire. Her name is Julia Caples. Her nickname is Dark Rose. She lives in suburban Pennsylvania. She is 50 and has been sucking blood for over 20 years. What was the result of the scientific survey? Does anyone remember? Did the kids decide that we should have her on?
It went down to the one person, and that lovely young lady said, absolutely, we should
have
her
on. So that person made the wrong call and said, we should interview this nut job. All right. Well, we haven't done that yet, but we do have another interview that she did on British television. So let's listen to a little of Julia Dark Rose Caples and see if we still want to go through with that as the scientific survey suggested.
I am Julia Dark Rose, and I am a blood drinker. Currently, I live in a really small, quaint town. It's just quiet and serene, and it's exactly what I need at this time in my life. I am known as a legacy in what is known as the vampire community and the vampire underworld. I am one of the original creators of what is now known as the vampire community. I helped start creating that in 1994. In the 90s, I was the vampire celebrity. I traveled all over the world. I did all kinds of TV shows, radio shows, and I don't think they really expected that what I was really, really real.
I hate her so much.
I mean, wow. Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
And by the way, you didn't create vampirism in the 90s, by the way.
I mean, mid-90s, sure.
doesn't it go back hundreds and hundreds of years?
Yeah.
Vampires? She didn't create it, right?
I think maybe she's saying she created the community that now is known as the vampire community.
Okay. And what is really, as she put it, what is so real?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you really a vampire, or are you really just a chick who drinks blood?
She's a chick who drinks blood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, she could stop drinking blood tomorrow, and it would have, if it had any effect on her health at all, it would only be a positive, right? It's not like she can't live if she doesn't drink blood, like the vampires in the books.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I think she goes on to criticize other vampires, right?
The vampires today, they're like, it's all about, you know, the TV shows and movies and books they read. They model themselves after these characters, fictional characters, and they dress the part with the fangs and the clothes, and they go to clubs. There's nothing wrong with them doing that, but they need, in my opinion, to differentiate themselves from those of us that this is actually our life.
Okay, so she's critical now of the Johnny-come-latelys who saw Twilight and decide that they want to be part of the vampire community as well. She's like, hey, how about a little respect for OG vampires here, right? This is my actual life. This isn't me just imitating somebody because I saw it on True Blood.
Is she fat?
She's drawing a line. She's not thin. I wouldn't say.
I'm just wondering what the caloric intake of blood is, you know?
See, I don't know. She does have fans, by the way, that come to her throughout the year, and they are there specifically because they want her to drink their blood, and she does it, which doesn't seem hygienic to me, by the way. That seems potentially pretty dangerous. Allie, I would like to point out that this lady is, she has a partner. She has a man. She's 50, she has two kids, and she drinks blood, but she was able to get a man. I wanted to point that out. Hello?
I hear you.
When I drink blood, it is an explosion of energy and sexuality. I combine the energy of sex with blood drinking, and it's like this cone of power and energy that is, it's aphrodisiac. I don't even have the correct words to describe what it is.
No, you don't.
You don't have a lot of correct words to describe a lot of things, lady. Now, Mike, I go to you and your expertise from all the years that you were on Loveline with
sure.
Dr. Drew. You've heard a lot of fetishes. A lot of people get turned on by a lot of weird stuff. Is there anything to what she's saying about blood invigorating her? Or is it possible that somehow there's something in blood that would make her sex life spicier? What's going on here?
I do know, like, anything dangerous or threatening has been proven to kind of touch the same points in the brain that sexual desire and satisfaction does. I don't know if just the drinking of the blood would do anything, but certainly maybe, like, getting that blood during sex, I could see would be kind of stimulating. I don't know what just straight drinking blood would do.
Unless, as you say, it's all in her mind and it's a turn on to her to pretend to be a vampire and that makes her feel sexy, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, and a certain amount of, you know, pretend time, I think, is understandable. But when you take it that far where she's talking about, like, I'm a real one and all the Johnny come latelys need to go away.
Yeah.
Then we're getting into a real dangerous territory.
I feel like she should have grown out of this at 50 also, by the way.
Right.
I feel like she should have at one point woken up and said, I've got two children and maybe it's time to put this nonsense behind. Like, this is one thing if you're in college or something like
right.
that. Am I wrong about that?
No, I totally am with you. I was even thinking about that when you mentioned that she had kids. I've read all those stories about how, like, following a certain diet can get the Child Protective Services to come through and take your kids away.
Yeah.
Does drinking gallons of blood qualify? I mean, it seems strange that they would just kind of overlook that.
Well, that's Pennsylvania for you.
You have to experience it. Blood drinking all while I was growing up certainly was something that taboo, and it really still is. But my mission is to find the others like myself, I mean, that are born this way. They don't have to go through what I went through. They don't need to be they don't need to hide. They don't deserve to be hurt. They need to be proud. They don't need to be ashamed. They need to be live their life to its fullest.
Normally.
Now, wait a minute. Is that true, by the way, that she had it rough as a blood drinker coming up, but kids today, it's easy peasy being a real-life vampire? Like, we don't no longer look down on people who are drinking blood. Are we past that? I don't think so.
I think it's still taboo, but I would
imagine. Yes, you're still a nut job if you're drinking human blood.
Yes, but can you imagine if, like, Don Draper's kid was drinking blood? I imagine it's probably a lot worse.
Yeah.
For everything. Anything that's on the fringes, I would imagine it's a little easier nowadays.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. I mean, I think we are at the point now where we kind of let your freak flag fly a little bit more readily now before we lock you up for something. All right, fair point.
Normally, after the initial cutting, we would continue on to many different areas of the body on each other. Until we are bathed in each other's blood.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Is it still sexy? Is it still sexy?
It
at that
was
point?
Never sexy.
Not sexy.
Mm-mm.
Why is this sexy to her? And how did she find a man who would go along with this?
It's probably like if you're really into a very niche type of music, when you do find that other person who's into it, mm-hmm. you put all other things aside.
You're all
and you're like, well, this is the man for me.
Yeah.
Right. Good point.
Blood. I had a neighbor so obsessed that I was the grandest demon of all drive her car through my kitchen window to try to kill me.
Okay.
What?
That seems like a little bit of a downside, by the way. A neighbor tried to drive her car through this lady's kitchen to try to kill her because she was a demon. So don't maybe let it get out that you're the neighbor who's drinking the blood, I guess. Okay.
I've been kidnapped by a cult that wanted to make me the mother of a new race.
I have been stalked by vampire hunters. I don't even like saying the word. I have been threatened by Christian groups. I have been ran out of towns. I have lost jobs. I've been fired over and over again because with the internet, they can find, they Google you. My life has not been easy.
Well, then keep doing what you're doing, by the way. At some point, don't you look around to all those things that are happening and go, huh, I wonder why all this stuff's happening to me.
Oh, dear.
And also, like, isn't part of being a real vampire not talking about being a vampire? Like
no, you're thinking of Fight Club, Mike.
That's no, different. But I'm thinking, like, Lost Boys and stuff. They didn't go around.
Yeah, it was underground.
You had to really be a part of their crew for them to break out the fangs. But in everyday life, they were just normal people who didn't go out in the dark.
Yeah.
Dr. McKay, your diagnosis at this point?
I think she's got some serious issues.
That's what my fear was when we got the pitch, is that if we have this lady on, aren't we just exploiting her mental illness?
Yeah.
And she sounds like she's believing it.
If we're not directly picking on her, though, if you're just interested in what is definitely a strange way of life, I do think that, to just bring her on the air and yell at her and laugh at her would be wrong.
Right, does she need a megaphone? I mean, no. I already feel that she's butthurt because she's not in demand as she once was back in the 90s when she was doing TV and radio shows. I think that's good for her to not be doing those
things. But don't you have questions? I mean, my question number one, don't you have to be from like Belarus or something to be a real vampire? Why, I didn't know that they lived in Scranton or wherever she is.
She lives in somewhere in suburban Pennsylvania. They don't know exactly where. You're right. It's hard. It's a long distance from Transylvania. I think my only question for her would be stop it.
Okay.
LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin DeBeach Show for a Monday morning. We had a conversation off the air last week, I want to say. We were talking about the Razzies, talking about The Rock and his awesome acceptance speech that he gave, talking about how his Baywatch movie just didn't work out the way he hoped. And it was named the worst movie of the year by the Razzies. And that got us on the topic of movies so bad, you walked out of the theater. Now, most of us, at least maybe I'm wrong. You guys tell me if I'm just speaking for myself here. Is this mostly true statement? If we've gone to the effort to clear our calendar and pay our money and go and get our popcorn and sit down in a movie theater, no matter how bad the movie is, it's unlikely that we're gonna take a loss on it, get up and walk out. We're going to at least stick around to the end of the movie, right?
You would think. I've walked out on a movie.
I have walked out of one movie in my entire life. And maybe it's because I don't want to admit to myself that I've made such a poor choice that I feel like it's less embarrassing, at least if I see the whole thing. What'd you walk out of, Allie?
Long before my disdain for cruises came about due to, Dateline, because that's where you get murdered.
A lot of murder.
A dude wants to take you on a cruise. That means he's going to push you over. Mm-hmm. But long before that was a movie called Speed 2.
He's taking us right into an oil tanker.
Man!
If you didn't catch the bus...
Oh, let's bust the transmission like a car, because I've done that.
You won't want to miss...
Annie!
The boat.
We're getting crashed!
We gotta stop the ship!
Speed 2. Cruise control.
How do you like your vacation so far?
You guys...
I had no idea that Speed 2 took place on a boat.
You guys, I looked at the guy I was with probably 10 minutes into it, and I'm like, this gets better, right? And he goes, it's got to. Speed ruled. And then that was my clue. And then about 20 minutes in, I'm like, we got to go. He's like, no, just five more minutes. He looks at me. He's like, we going? Yeah, we're going. It was unwatchable. I love Sandra Bullock. She could do no wrong.
Oh, she was in the sequel?
This was so bad. Yeah, it was her and
was
Jason
Keanu
Patrick.
In it also?
No, he's the winner in all of this because he's like, nope, not going to do it.
Because let's a little background because these movies are pretty old at this point. Speed was great, right?
Great movie.
Holds up, too.
Yes.
I saw it on cable the other day. It holds up.
And Speed was a movie about a guy who's on a bus, and if it goes below 50 miles an hour, it blows up or something, right?
Yeah.
And he has to try to figure out a way to work his way out of that situation. And it was a huge, huge hit. And then they made a sequel, you're saying, that took place on a boat, and it was unwatchable.
Yeah, and it was Sandra Bullock and Jason Patrick, and they had to stop the cruise ship from busting into an oil tanker.
Why didn't they just stop it?
They couldn't. It was programmed.
Another. So it was the same type of thing.
Yes. It was speed, but on a freaking cruise ship. It was the worst.
Now, why did the guy, the criminal who is putting all this programming into vehicles, why does he follow poor civilian Sandra Bullock around? Why is she the one who's...
Great question. Didn't stick around.
Yeah, that may have been revealed at the end of the movie, but we don't know. All right, so Speed 2, the movie so bad you walked out on. Excellent choice, I think. I didn't see it. Michael.
I was so personally offended that this movie exists to begin with that as an American, it hurt me to know that they would make a sappy love story about Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like a Christopher Nolan detailing of the horrors of this surprise attack on a military base. It was a goddamn love story.
Well, yeah, they were trying to tell a personal story with the tragic battle as the backdrop for the romance, right?
This incredibly made-up personal story where, and I'm an apologist for Affleck. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are upset he's Batman. I know there's been some missteps in his career, but I think the guy's actually wildly talented and in the right place. Is very good.
Oh, he shines, yeah.
They've never worse has Affleck been Affleck in Pearl Harbor. And this was the only movie I can think of where I got up about halfway through, even with these amazing explosions and these camera angles of biplanes, you know, kind of dropping through close and strafing over the Hawaiian coast. I thought to myself, this is crap. And the movie I'm talking about is, in fact, Pearl Harbor.
You kept me alive, Evan. You brought me home. So I'm gonna stand by my end of the deal. I'm gonna walk away. And I won't ask you for anything. But I just wanna know why.
Why?
Make him from Boston! They're all in the middle. You could be from anywhere. Why does Ben Affleck have to be a redneck? It sounds horrible! I'm angry now.
Yeah, you are.
All right. We're by the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, but it's no surprise we're going to be looking for your worst movie ever. You walked out. It was so bad at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we take Tim in Panorama City, please, line 3 up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tim, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's your movie?
Hey, party people. I got to tell you, hands down, the worst movie ever that I actually had to walk out of was Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones.
Great choice.
Yeah, the thing is that I saw it at the Dollar Theater. I got up halfway through, and I wanted my dollar back. It was so bad.
And that was an actual volcano that erupted in Los Angeles, if I remember correctly. Wasn't there like lava going down Century Avenue or something?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the thing. See, here's the thing. Years later, I saw it when it was on TV, and I forced myself to watch it all the way through just to see, okay, what did I miss? Which was great because I was at home. I could go to the bathroom whenever I wanted.
Sure.
I saw at the end, and the fact that they stopped the lava with fire trucks and water and those barricades on this freeway, stupidest plot ever. Everybody should have died.
I now need to see Volcano.
He asked for his dollar back.
All right, Tim. Great call, sir. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. The movie was so bad that you walked out of the theater while watching it. Couldn't even stay to the end to recoup your investment. We want to hear from you. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What's the worst movie you ever saw? Not a movie that was so bad it came around and was good again. A movie that just stayed bad. Christine, assistant producer Christine, says hers was Twilight, you guys.
Oh.
That's going to be fighting words for some people, right? Mm. All right, let's take one call ahead of the offspring, and let's make it Tara in Northridge. Line 2, please. Up next on the Kevin DeMeo Show. Hey, Tara.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great, thanks. You've got a movie in this category so bad you walked out of it.
Yep, and it's Home Fries with Drew Barrymore and Luke Wilson. It was awful. I don't even know. I looked up the description on IMDb as I was waiting, and you guys won't even believe what they described this movie as. It's
all right, let's
so
hear it.
Bad. It says, pregnant Sally unknowingly falls for the stepson of her deceased father of her baby and has to deal with his homicidal family.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even get to that part because I was like, what was it really about? I knew she was pregnant, and I knew that Luke Wilson wasn't the father of the baby, But it was so awful. We were the only ones in the theater, and we walked out after 40. Like, I gave it 45 minutes, and I'm like, done, let's go. This is
you know
so
what?
Bad.
All I remember from that is she had an awful, like, curly wig, and she did, like, a drive-through or something, right?
Yeah. She worked, I guess, I don't know if the place was called Home Fries. I don't know if they filmed Home Fries, but it was so awful. I still love Drew Barrymore. That's why I gave it a shot.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I now need to also see Home Fries. That sounds like it sounds irresistible to me. All right, Tara, we appreciate your listening. Thank you for calling. More calls coming up after the offspring on K-Rock. Jeff's phone was disconnected somehow, but he was calling to suggest that Super Troopers was a movie so bad that he walked out.
That's
on.
Dumb.
Well,
that's insane.
That's
right?
Why his phone was disconnected, because he's so wrong. God was punishing him.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to have a phone. From the 626, Eddie in Monrovia writes in, I never walk out of movies, but I had to walk out of the stupidest film ever made, Don't Mess with the Zohan, Adam Sandler. Horrible movie, he says. That's the topic. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to get right back to your calls. But first, Dave, the King of Mexico, you walked out of what film?
Oh, man. Well, this film has been called the Citizen Kane of Awful, and it was given -5 stars. They had directors attached to it, like the names of James Gunn, Elizabeth Banks, and the Farrelly brothers. It starred Liev Schreiber, Greg Kinnear, Common, Seth MacFarlane, Kate Winslet, Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, so many more other people. It was movie 43, and it was the worst movie I have ever seen.
There's something I'd like to ask you. Will you on me?
Wait, what did you say?
I want you to be my first.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
See that blind kid over there? I dare you to blow out his candles before he gets a chance to.
Okay, wait, what's going on?
Okay. Was it like Little Shorts?
Yes, or? It's a movie about this guy pitching movie ideas to a Hollywood executive, uh-huh. And it has all these other stars, and they're acting out these movie scenes and these movie ideas, and there's all these little shorts, mm-hmm. And they are the worst.
Is it the point that they're like spoof shorts, so it's supposed to be bad?
No, it was serious. It was a serious, like, it was supposed to be a funny movie.
Right.
But boy, was the acting just awful. And
were they all contractually obligated to be in it because of the person who made the movie, or because of they are all in the same agency, or like, how did they get that many stars who obviously didn't read the script, or at least didn't reject it as they should have?
I know this was produced by Virgin, like America, Virgin, mm-hmm. at the time. I don't know what they gave them and what the tie-in they had to all these people.
Right.
It's never really come out, but there That's was something going on, because this movie was terrible. And I'm sure if you asked any one of these actors about this, their experience, they would probably be like, oh, I wasn't in that movie.
Yeah, no idea.
All right, let's blow through as many of these as we can, because we've got a lot of curious suggestions, starting with Patrick on line two. He's in Agoura Hills. All right, stand back, you guys, for the blowback on this one. Patrick, the movie was so bad, you walked out of the theater. What was it?
The Last Jedi.
Patrick.
Wow. You're a troll. You don't mean that. Look,
no
even
way.
If it wasn't
no
your favorite
way.
Star Wars offended. Movie, there's no way it wasn't a competent film that you could stay to the end for.
It was an incompetent film.
What scene did you walk out on?
The editing, the acting. I left right as Princess Leia was floating back into a spaceship.
Okay,
listen,
that wasn't great.
That
was a stupid
scene.
That
was kind of a weird plot
point. I'm with you, Patrick, on that one.
I mean, let's be honest. And then, I mean, we didn't even see the girl go through all of her Jedi training, and then all of a sudden she's, like, lifting rocks. I mean, Luke Skywalker, of all people, I mean, it took him a whole 2 movies to master some skills. So, like, well, where's the editing?
You had about 2 more hours to go, so.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate that. I still reject you totally. Let's go to Riverside. Let's make it line 5. And Austin, up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show. I have a vague memory of this movie, but maybe you can fill me in. What was the film you walked out on?
Okay, so I hate myself, and it's something I've regretted for a long time, because I actually stayed for about 80% of the movie. And it was on a date, and the movie was Bug with Ashley Judd and Harry Connick Jr.
And what's going on in Bug?
Well, the entire movie takes place in a seedy motel room, and it's basically there's a unhinged war veteran, I guess you could say. He's got some problems, and she's really lonely, and they fall in love, and he's a bug god or something, and he makes her his bug queen. And I mean, I'm gonna say they maybe spent like $10,000 on this whole movie making it, but it was probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And I actually ended up finishing it years later when it came on TV, just to see what I didn't miss out on. And I wish I'd left earlier in the movie.
Okay, wow. Fair enough. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. All right, let's try, why can't I see it? Destiny, please. Los Angeles Line 8, up next on the Kevin and BJ. Talking about the worst film you ever saw so bad you walked out on it. Destiny, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's the film?
So this one really lives up to its name, Disaster Movie. it had like Kim Kardashian, Carmen Electra. It was basically like a satire on all of the movies that had come out recently. And it was so bad. I went to go see it with my grandma when these demented, like Alvin and the Chipmunk characters came on. We were like, okay, it's time to go.
Wow.
Your poor Nana. Yeah. You dragged her there.
Well, how do you explain that
to
her?
She really likes like stupid funny movies. Uh-huh. So I thought she would really like this movie, and even she was like, I can't do it.
Was this a Wayans Brothers movie, one of their parodies or something?
I don't think so, but it tried to be a parody, but it needs to be made into a parody because it's so bad.
Gotcha. Hmm. All right. So we've got a nice long list of movies we need to avoid. By the way, we don't have time because we got to take a break, Allie, but please look at line five. Josh says Napoleon Dynamite.
Josh, you're totally right.
I know you're
totally
very happy about
Josh.
That.
I'm with you, too.
It's the worst.
But you're both wrong. All three of you are wrong.
You're totally right, Josh. Take that
Get
to the
Get off my
grave.
Phone. Wait, here's my favorite part. I love that.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the Kevin and BJ Show here on a Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning into the world-famous K-Rock. We woke up to some good news this morning, and that is Pearl Jam is back with a brand-new song called Can't Deny Me. We played it for you earlier. We'll play it for you again coming up right after Allie's What's Happening at 8:55.
This is a bad start to home ownership, I feel. Remember when Katy Perry was trying to buy that convent, essentially, is what it is,
sure.
In Los Angeles? And then what had happened was that the nuns there had already sold it to somebody, but they had bypassed the archdiocese who they had to go through. So then it all wound up in court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, one of the nuns involved in the case collapsed in the courtroom on Friday and died.
Oh!
Yeah. That's not good. And she was quoted as saying, "Katy Perry, please stop. It's not doing anyone any good, and it's hurting a lot of people."
Wait a second.
Yeah.
A nun's dying words where Katy Perry
this? This was during the whole thing.
Oh.
But, wow. Wouldn't you think that's a little bit of weird karma if you're awarded the house after all that time and like, oh, a nun died trying
to... Instant karma, motherfucker!
Yeah.
I got the impression that the nuns had it in for Katy Perry. Like, if it had been anyone else, they wouldn't have objected to selling their property to her.
Mm-hmm. She kissed
a girl.
But
because she kissed a girl, all of a sudden she's evil in the eyes of the Lord, so they don't want to have anything to do with her. I mean, it seemed like it was something as dumb as that.
You think?
I think I'm team Katy Perry on this. I'm not team dead nun.
No, even if you're team Katy Perry, do you want that house?
Nah.
No, right? A nun died for that house.
You're already building up weird kind of juju by fighting nuns.
Agreed.
Then when one dies, you're guaranteed to have the spirit of dead nun.
Yes.
Which, by the way, nothing scarier.
No.
They could be like a goblin or a skeleton. But when something...
Or just a nun.
When it comes at you, a living nun. Dead nun in the nun's habit, but it's skeleton underneath? Come on.
I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
Do you think the dead nun comes after you still with a ruler, though, or do you think they use something else from beyond the grave?
For sure, a ruler.
Just a ruler.
That's scary in itself.
Yeah.
Slick Rick, the ruler.
Why?
So you think Katy Perry should just walk away from this and just say, change my mind.
Yes.
But she can have any house she wants.
Right?
Poor so much
sister
money.
Sister Catherine Ann Holzman. Rest in peace. 89 years old. Just dead. On a Friday in a courtroom.
Sister.
It's just all very sad. Very
someone
sad.
Call someone.
That's what I'm saying. I'm really upset Kevin isn't here because I have breaking news for, of course,
and
Royal
now,
Watchers.
A breaking news bulletin.
Yeah, he loves my updates about Meghan Markle.
And now a breaking news bulletin.
And Prince Harry getting married. Yep.
Nobody loves royalty news like Kevin.
No one loves it. And this, I mean, this is huge. Huge news out of Buckingham Palace today. As Meghan Markle...
And now breaking news bulletin.
Meghan Markle was spotted with a new hairstyle.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. This new hairstyle entails her hair parted to the side with bigger, more defined curls. That's not a new hairstyle. She curled it and moved her part. This is literally a story. And they're talking to celebrity hairdressers.
Was this in the news?
That are getting their take on it. If you're wondering what Jay Birmingham says he feels it's a great change. It creates a classic, elegant look, perfectly balances her stunning facial features. God, it must suck to be her.
Right?
It would be the worst. Like, it's one thing in Hollywood where people are following your move, but it seems like everyone in the country is following your
obsessed
every move.
With everything they do.
Who's more pumped about it than Kate Middleton, though?
Right?
Because she's like, finally.
Finally.
Takes the heat off of her.
Yeah.
Allie, please tell me, not to take anything away from your haircut story.
Sure.
But please tell me you've been following Meghan Markle Fingergate.
No.
You gotta look into Fingergate.
I don't know if it's blocked on my computer.
there's a front page story on the newspapers in England where they are debating and mapping if her fingers are the appropriate sizes. Are they the same? Are they too close to the same size? Is one too long? They have done a breakdown. Please come back in the next What's Happening and give us the update on Fingergate, because I haven't been following it during the show this morning.
What's the claim? That her hands are a conspiracy? What do they mean?
Her hands are a conspiracy. Well, the original question that was asked is, why are all of her fingers the same length? And then they had to go to experts to break down photographs from different angles to see if, in fact, that was true.
But there's no way your pinky can be the same size as the rest of your fingers.
I think they're talking about the middle three. I'm talking about the fingers in the middle, yeah.
Oh.
But I don't want to spring this on you out of nowhere, but let's take a look at it maybe next hour.
I will do a deep dive.
Fingergate is a thing, man.
Don't you worry. I will have that and much more in the next What's Happening.
But between that and her new hairstyle, I don't know that Harry wants to marry her. He may need to move on to somebody else who doesn't have quite so many complications.
Oh, good Lord. Mike?
I love her.
She's wonderful.
Oh, she's so hot.
Yeah. All right. Some birthdays for you. Liza Minnelli, Courtney B. Vance, Ron Jeremy, and Jamie Alexander. And that's what's happening.
Nirvana on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and the Kevin Bean Show for a Monday morning. We made it, you guys. We survived our first show after the time change. It was a slog. It was tough.
It was a rough one.
But we're here crossing the finish line now after Allie's final What's Happening.
And I think people deserve a treat, if you will,
just
for making it through with us. It is all about the Paley Fest this week. I'm going to be giving away tickets every single day to the different amazing shows that you can go check out on stage at the Dolby Theater. It kicks off this Friday, runs through the 25th. If you don't know about Paley Fest, it is a blast. You get to see the stars of your favorite show up there on the stage, usually with the showrunner, with producers, writers, everyone up there talking about how they come up with the ideas for the show, and a great little background happening up there on the stage this Saturday. I sold that, didn't I? This Saturday at 7 p.m. will be Will and Grace. So if you're a Will and Grace fan, give a call right now. And caller 15, you're going to get a pair of passes to check out that panel at the Paley Fest this Saturday at 7 p.m. Will and Grace. Call 1-800-520-1067 right now, and you can head there and see one of my favorite shows right up there on the stage.
Are you more of a Jack and Karen girl?
I do love Jack and Karen so very much.
What about Jack and Diane?
Not great, Mike.
No, terrible.
No. Also not great when I do a story about Meghan Markle and I get so excited because she has, she's been wearing curls and her hair parted differently and it's breaking news.
Uh-huh.
It's a big deal. And then Bean gets my hopes up with, oh, by the way, Meghan Markle has all the same length fingers and it's freaking people out.
I thought there was Fingergate. I did. I was all excited to be able to share.
Yeah.
The controversy over her new hairstyle, to tell you about the front page news in Britain about Fingergate.
Yes.
But I guess I screwed up.
He screwed up because I wound up searching finger Meghan Markle and everything was blocked. It turns out it's Kate Middleton's fingers. There's a picture from the Daily Mail where she's holding a clutch purse. And it's an optical illusion. That's all it is. But people were freaking out about how her fingers were all the same length. What is going on with your people over there, Bean?
Why are we so obsessed with the length of her fingers? I mean, it's not a freak show. She's got a regular-sized person hand, right?
Yes. It's just the way she's actually holding the clutch, where your fingers aren't splayed out on a flat surface. She's actually clutching it.
Ooh.
If that's why they call it a clutch. So it appears that they're all the same length because she has to grasp it like that. But good God, people.
People were wigging, though.
People still wigging. Yeah. It's insane.
And Mike, you own fingerKateMiddleton.com as well, right?
I do. Okay.
Yeah, I actually have that.
Good. Good. Good stuff.
Right next to Muffington Post, my other website.
All right. Well, this is going to be an awkward transition. Magnolia, a big fan of Beauty and the Beast?
Does she tear her eyes away from MuffingtonPost.com to look at a little Beauty and the Beast?
Are you catching? It's a real weird transition, but
my daughter, Magnolia, is a huge Beauty and the Beast fan.
Well, you should get tickets then. May 25th and 26th at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles. They're going to be doing one of those where they combine the movie up on the screens and then they have people singing along to the songs. And they have named some of the cast. Headlined with Zooey Deschanel as Belle.
Oh!
Kelsey Grammer will be singing Be Our Guest as Lumiere. And Taye Diggs as Gaston. The cast will also feature Rebel Wilson singing the role of LeFou. And Jane Krakowski crooning the title song as Mrs. Potts. Oh my gosh!
That's awesome.
That's huge.
That's a lot of stars.
That is a lot of stars. They put on some good shows down there at the Hollywood Bowl. But it is May 25th and 26th at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles.
By the way, for Beauty and the Beast fans, we're very excited about a guest we have coming in on the show in April. The Beast himself, Dan Stevens, is going to be here.
Oh, so
dreamy. From so many other things as well. I know him and love him from Downton Abbey. Kevin loves him from Legion. I mean, the guy's just a superstar.
He's so dreamy.
Yeah.
I had the weirdest Beauty and the Beast experience just last week. The machoest, most gnarly buff Brazilian dudes that I train with were all pumped about this Hollywood Bowl show.
Really?
Oh, boy, my friend, she's great. I go to Hollywood Bowl, zoo, Beauty and Beast. It's great, my friend. Boah, it's good. I'm like, what? 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 You guys are talking about a Metallica show? No, it's my friend. It's good, Beauty and the Beast. It's great. It's Disneyland.
Really?
I know. I don't know what it is. It's like a weird, like a strange glitch in the macho kind of time chain that they...
Do they have kids or they just really want to see it?
I know. These guys are like 20. Oh. I don't think this is... Beautiful, muscular Brazilian men.
Go on. I'm listening. Well, we're going to have to tackle that and other tough issues coming up. But it is confirmed. Beyonce and Jay-Z are hitting the road together. It's the On the Run 2 Stadium Tour. They have released the dates now. Our show, September 22nd at the Rose Bowl. Those two.
Tickets for that show must be crazy.
Yeah, they haven't gone on sale yet. Tidal, obviously, you're going to get a pre-sale with Tidal, which I think is on the 14th. But yeah, I can't even imagine how much those tickets are going to be.
Hey.
You want to go see that, Mike?
No.
Yeah, I have what's less than zero interest?
Really? How do you not? You seem like you would be both a Jay-Z and a Beyonce fan.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Ah, sub-zero.
Thank you.
That's less than zero.
Thank you so much for that. And just a reminder, because I care about you guys, that the Mega Millions lottery is valued at $318 million. That's $187 million if you take the cash value. That's Tuesday night. But maybe that's not enough for you. Well, Wednesday night's Powerball is valued right now at $420 million. That's a $248 million cash value. I want someone to win that listens to Kevin and Bean, and then they're like, you know what? I wasn't going to buy a ticket, but you kept reminding me. Here's a cool mill coming your way, sweet cheeks.
That'd be pretty cool if that happened.
Yeah.
Your cheeks are sweet.
All right. That's odd right there. Hey, the movie about Whitney Houston called Whitney is going to be in theaters July 6th. This movie, by the way, done with the approval of her estate and will include previously unreleased recordings, some rare, never-before-seen home movie footage, and live performances recorded by Whitney at various stages of her life. So that could be pretty interesting. If you're a huge Whitney fan and you haven't seen any of that stuff or heard these recordings, that is definitely something to check out.
I hope it's an honest look.
If it's family authorized, probably not going to
be. And that's what I'm concerned about, because they've been very, very guarded and touchy and protective of what really would probably be, I'm sure, the saddest part of her life in the last 20 years, but also the most important message, I think, to take home from that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some birthdays for you guys. Actress Liza Minnelli, actress Jamie Alexander, actor and porn star Ron Jeremy, and
Hedgehog.
Actor Courtney B. Vance. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. And don't forget, on your drive home, you mentioned it earlier today, but I think it bears repeating again for folks who are listening to us late in the show, is the opening act contest is up and running at KROQ.com. If you are a funny person, whether you're a professional comedian or not, but you think you can hold the stage at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2018, we've got the opening act contest going on right now. You just have to give us a link to your YouTube video, 18 and up, please. And then you got a couple of weeks to get that together between now and a week from Friday. That's the deadline. Then we put the top 10 comedians up on the website, and you all vote as to who will be opening that show for Fluffy and all the rest. So KROQ.com, all the details right there. Tomorrow on the show, we got some good stuff. Mike, you want to make the announcement about what's going to be heard on 106.7 KROQ for the first time in a long time on tomorrow's show?
A game that we played quite frequently on Loveline for a long time. It had wild popularity. It is a wordplay game, and we are bringing it here to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Stinky Pinky.
Yeah! Oh, Stinky
Ladies
Pinky.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Stinky Pinky, like you need anything else on tomorrow's show, right? Also, awkward I love yous will be a topic on the program tomorrow. We'll find out what's going on with the local teams as we head into March Madness with our friend Petros Papadakis on the program. And speaking of great comedians who have played April Foolishness in the past, how about the great Greg Fitzsimmons and his tiny hat?
Oh.
He'll be joining us in studio tomorrow as well. All that tomorrow morning for a Tuesday show right here on KROQ.